Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR. Well, let's get to our guest. I know he's got some amazing things to share today. So, Tom, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Pleasure to be here. That's a rocking opening you guys got there.
That's how we roll at Drive Through HR.
Appreciate the opportunity to be a guest and to talk to your listeners. A little background just on myself. I'm the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing at HR Smart. We're a full-suite talent management company that's been in the business over 10 years. I myself have been in the HR software over 10 years with a couple of companies, and look forward. It's a great growing market with a lot of interest from a lot of different segments, and it's a really exciting place to be right now.
Well, oh, for sure. Had some interesting, you know, had a round of, you know, some consolidations the last few months, some acquisitions, some strategic kind of expansion. So it's been fun, and I think 2014 in its entirety will not disappoint with some additional things probably toward the fall. So that's a lot of movement, a lot of money flowing. You know, if you've been in it a decade plus, then it's been interesting, the shift in interest and investment and capital that's kind of now backing the human capital kind of technology plays and the consulting for that matter. So good stuff. So let's jump into it. What's top of mind with you today?
Well, as I talked about the marketplace offering, what's sort of happening, to piggyback on what you just talked about, is there has been a lot of consolidation. And what we found to a certain large extent is the consumer hasn't necessarily benefited as much from those consolidations as the stockholders. You have companies that are buying up various pieces within the talent management and HR industry, and whereas you chose to buy from one vendor and their methodology and the way they present their product, once they get bought by somebody, you have someone else doing the whole directing of the organization and then trying to tie those two or more offerings together, and a lot of times the customer gets left behind. So here at HR Smart, you know, being a wholly owned company and developed our own products, we try to keep that top of mind. We're not saying we may not be acquired by someone in the future, but customer always has to come first, and you got to make sure that when you're introducing new technologies or new partners or you become part of a larger organization, you have to remember that the most important thing is not your products, your technology, but your customers.
Oh, for sure. And so how has and have known Mark, the founder, for feels like a gazillion years. How is the cloud transformation of how people approach that and going from like local installs to the cloud environments, how has that affected kind of the space in general?
Well, it's allowed companies to do a lot more without investing a lot in their own infrastructure. So the idea that you're taking the installation and putting it in the cloud, you don't have to invest in a large IT department. You don't have to build everything on top of your existing architectures. I remember 10 years ago, you know, I'd always have to find out, are people running on Oracle's database, Microsoft's database? And it takes a lot of those questions out of it so that you can actually look around, find the solution that's best for you, and not worry necessarily what it runs on top of, because all you're seeing is the part of it that you use. So it's been a very positive development, I think, for the industry and pretty much the whole software industry, even outside of HR, from an ease of use and a quicker implementation. We used to talk about perpetual software implementations, you know, say back 10 years ago, you know, taking 6 months to a year or longer to put in. And when people go with, you know, a SaaS-based solution, you know, the joke is you can be using it before your check clears.
That actually is kind of funny. So, you know, it's so true, right? It's literally because the environment's agnostic relative to, I mean, have browser go, you know, go hit functions, right? The user experience is on. And so how is, I mean, let's kind of go a little further into that. How has that changed supporting? Well, first of all, because, I mean, you're basically leading marketing. So how has that changed the marketing side of presenting the value proposition from a technology perspective to practitioners? And then the other half of that question is, how has that changed the customer excellence, customer experience for clients from back in the day?
Okay. Well, a couple of different questions there. You know, the from the marketing standpoint, you know, always the problem in software is everybody thinks their software, you know, looks so great and they just can't wait to show it to people. They tend to forget about the ROI. You know, something, you know, looks good and is easy to use, but, you know, is it going to change your business enough and present enough value that making this investment is actually going to translate into positive productivity, positive profits, things that go to the bottom line? And in the SaaS implementation model, again, you see that a lot more quickly in that you're paying so much every quarter or year to use the software. It's not this big multi-million dollar upfront investment where you may realize a return on it in a couple of years. Companies are able to see that investment quickly, and you have to make sure that you know, present that in the full extent of your offering. The marketing part of it has gone like every other company. People are looking for their information on the web. They're not necessarily as much going to consultants or reading magazines. You're being able to convey your message through blogs, through social media. You know, there's still email campaigns that go on, but they generally direct you to sites on the web to do further research on the offerings that you're looking for. So a lot more information is front and center to the consumer, and they'll be able to be a lot more intelligent in what they're looking for. From a support standpoint, from the support rep and the interface with the customer, as far as supporting the application has become, is pretty much the same. You're talking about usability and the ability to navigate through the system. But with the vendors also being responsible for the infrastructure, you know, we have to answer the questions of speed of the solution and making sure that it's working all the time and customers are getting, you know, 24/7 availability.
Well, interesting insights, Tom, and I totally agree with you. Well, in fact, traditionally, it's like reaching out to HR tech buyers and going through industry publications, but now it is so easy to find the one through various social channels and innovative promotional techniques that they do. So I want to go back to, you know, sales and marketing aspect of this HR technology, and you talked a little bit about the customer acceptance. So what do you think these HR technology companies should do in order to attain an increased user adoption or satisfaction rate?
Well, again, going back to the greater availability of information, I really think they should make sure that they're involved in the user groups and user communities that they can find out on the web. Because there's nothing better to help you do something or learn something than talking to someone else who's actually using it. rather than someone who's selling it or someone who's training on it. You know, find someone who's doing the same thing you're doing, taking a solution and applying it to their daily business. So I really encourage our customers, and when I'm talking to prospects as well, is to talk to our other customers or even talk to other people who are using similar solutions in the industry. I don't think you can overemphasize how much you can learn by talking to someone else doing the same thing.
I know. It is like the pure recommendations, right? When we talk to somebody we know who have already used this HR technology and who are comfortable in it, and high chances are there that they will recommend that particular product, and then we'll be able to use that.
And even so, outside of the solution aspect, somebody's going through the same pain that you're going through of having to hire 300 people in a month or having to do, you know, 60 performance appraisals every quarter. It's you know, those are the types of things where you can learn also process as well as how to use the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, using the solutions, let's talk a little bit about, you know, helping our audience in order to select which platform that they should go for. Let me say, when we talk about talent management and from a perspective, from an audience perspective who haven't used any solutions, HR tech solutions till now, but they are trying to consider or to buy a solution or HR technology, at that point, how do they go about, you know, deciding, okay, which platform should be a right fit for my process? What do you think? What are your advice to our audience?
Well, I think you need to look, as in everything, a combination of what are your short-term needs and what is your long-term rollout of where you're going to go in the entirety within your organization. In talent management, there's pretty much, you know, 5 or 6 major modules, you know, recruiting, performance, learning, succession planning, compensation, and you have to decide, is am I going to eventually roll to do all three, or do I think I'm just going to be at the size where all I really need is to get a recruiting system or a performance system? And that decides whether you go totally best of breed or you look at something that's going to be part of a best of all-around solution. So I think when you're looking at looking at buying something, you have to decide how far are you going to take the whole thing, and deciding of, you know, should I look at whether something should be easily roll out to the other avenues of talent management, or do I just want this one thing to do that really well? So that would be the first step I would take as a customer.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Stay in that lane. What's one of the biggest misperceptions about HR tech? A lot of conversations, you have a lot of clients, prospects. I mean, what's one of the things that you tend to see come up quite a bit that that you kind of like walk people through kind of the education and, you know, demystifying?
Well, the biggest misperception I see with clients is that the software is going to fix your process. What you have to do is have a good process in place that the software automates. So what I see with a lot of client implementations or people who've already bought the system is they didn't have a recruiting or a performance process in place, and they expected the software to almost invent that. And really what the solutions are an accelerator or an automation of your existing process. It can present ways to actually do things better, but if you don't have that process spelled out in the first place, you tend to blame the software, but it's more often you got to have the process in place for the software to work effectively. So that's probably the biggest misstep, and it's not limited to HR. It's pretty much any software investment that companies make is to know what you're doing and have the process in place first.
So, yeah, that's could not agree more, right? It's kind of like you start out bad. Technology doesn't fix bad.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, you could be walking towards a wall, and if you invest in something that accelerates, you're just going to run faster towards the wall. So you want to be going in a direction that's the right direction to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. So thoughts on the term big data? Might as well jump on that one.
Okay. Well, big data is basically, as I've seen it, is with the conglomeration of tech and software and storage, we've gotten to a point where data is so big that our traditional methodologies of getting through it, the Boolean searches, can't even navigate you to the right place within in your big data sources. And the data tends to be so interconnected between various platforms and everything that a normal means of getting to the information you need has become outdated. And you know, you can't necessarily filter and say, give me all the candidates with this much experience and who have a college degree or whatever. Even that doesn't get you through these big data installations. So that's why you try to look for search methodologies, which we employ a great many in our system, that can actually navigate through this bigger data. But it's an ongoing problem because data is just accumulating as everything goes digital.
Right, and that's the thing is I think obviously cloud, big data, and mobile have caused a little bit of smoke and mirrors, right? I think it's given everybody like places to run and create, and so do you feel that like some of these new pretty macro concepts, enterprise concepts, have delayed really true innovation in the space or improvement of existing modules on the life cycle?
Well, of course, the access to more data points that you can get to is beneficial towards decision making, forecasting, and you know, running everything from your personal to your professional business. The idea of like being able to navigate and get to the right data is still, I think, not totally implemented out there. I don't think a lot of the search just out to the web in general get you everything that you're looking for, but I think the advancements are being made because the problem is known, and that's really the first step in addressing it.
Got it. Well, and that's, it's just interesting because you've seen, like I said, there's been I don't think a ton of innovation. Kind of almost makes you wonder where can innovation really come from? To put on the futurism hat for a second, where can innovation really come from in the future for the human capital space relative to technology?
Well, the innovation has to be, again, kind of getting back, the innovation, you have to listen to your customers and you know, what are they struggling with. And if they're struggling with a problem, there's an economic opportunity there. And if there's an economic opportunity there, the innovation will follow. So the closer you can get to your customers and hearing their pain points or what they think would make their business run better or where they see things going is where you're going to get that innovation. You know, four developers sitting in an ivory tower somewhere are not going to come up with a solution that's going to affect someone who's as I say, out to recruit 300 people, you know, a month, and you know, get them learned and developed up to stuff. It has to become from a constant dialogue with your customers and you know, what they're doing and what they need to do. But if there's a problem, there's an economic opportunity, and the innovation will follow.
Wow, that's interesting. I want to stress that quote, listen to your customers and find out what they are struggling with. It's right there. So I know HR Smart is an integrated talent management solution, so I have a question on that. Well, you know, for an organization, generally, if they're in a startup, they might be, as you said in the beginning, they might be thinking about finding out which is the right solution for them. First of all, they might think, okay, we need an ATS. That would be the first thought that might come to their mind. But eventually they will understand, okay, we need an integrated talent management solution once we grow ahead, right? So when can an organization get the real value of integrated talent management solutions?
Okay. Well, not to totally correct you, we actually pitch ours as a unified talent management system. The other players in the space who talk about an integrated talent management generally have five separate solutions that they tie feeds together. Since ours is all run off one platform, there's really no need for integration of those modules because they are all part of one total talent solution from hire to retire. And what that does is gives you the ability to see for the whole talent life cycle what economic value you're getting from people that you're hiring. You know, from the sourcing value, just the ability to reduce 3,000 candidates to a pool of, 300 that you talk to, be able to see where those candidates came from. Did they come from LinkedIn? Did they come from monster job boards? Did they come from referral activities? And then going through their various life cycle, you know, you get to someone who you recruited as a product analyst, became a product manager, eventually became the vice president of product development and runs your whole growth strategy. You might want to know where you got that person from, who their manager was, what kind of development they went through, and what points in their employee life cycle they got to certain milestones. And that kind of tells you a little bit of what you can do to find your high potentials, make them higher performers, and grow the leaders within your company. So being able to see all that through a whole solution, through the various analytics and reporting you can have in a unified database through that whole process really shows you value almost from the get-go in the various stages.
Wonderful. Well, in fact, HR Smart has operations at different parts of the globe. So let's have one global talent management question.
Okay.
So for a global company, you know, in order to execute their global talent management, what do they generally expect from their HR technology?
First of all, that it's intuitive and easy to use. You know, you want something that your users are not afraid to go use. You want something that is a positive user experience, and that has to translate to different languages and different cultures around the world. So the ability for what someone sees in Charleston, South Carolina, when recruiting, complying with the laws of there, seeing things in English, might be a little different from someone who's looking at doing the same thing in the same company, but in Paris, France, or Cebu in the Philippines. And the ability to have the same offering, but customized to the local laws and customs in that native language, and then also being to whenever they make a phone call, they're able to speak to a live voice. So it's just some of the things that make the availability of, we're a global company, we have global offices around the world, and we have support centers around the world that can provide all that. The solution is 10-plus years tested in multi-languages. So those are a lot of the things that, as a leader in this industry, we've seen that's necessary and applied to our offerings.
So just to go a little further, kind of down the offering side, is it realistic? This is kind of a mobile question. Is it realistic to have all functions at some point in time be mobile, accessible?
It's realistic to have that kind of offering. It's a question of what parts of the offering need it the most. Particularly in the recruiting phase, you think of all the people who are out there looking for jobs in the various segments of the industry. And today's time, it's more likely that people will have a smartphone than actually have a computer. So being able to quickly apply on a job, depending on what that job is, does it need a resume or is it something that can just quickly be applied to from a phone? Being able to show maps if it's a location-based job on where it gets to, how does an employee know how to get there? So I think very much on the recruiting side, you need that mobile capability even down to the handhelds. But also in the other segments, as you start applying, the people, managers, executives on the road bringing their tablets with them, being able to do performance reviews or review performance advancements by their employees, and also so in the learning environment. Your employees aren't going to always be sitting at their desks looking at one-way communications of online training. You know, they might be able to use it on a plane somewhere, or sitting in an airport, or waiting to pick up their kid from soccer in the evening. They could have their tablets with them, and if you have internet access just about anywhere in the world, that gives you the ability to continue and, you know, do the certain types of learning and performance things on the times when it's convenient for you.
Well, Tom, I know you are a sales and marketing guru in the HR tech industry, so let's have a marketing question. What marketing trends that every HR tech brand need to know? What are some marketing trends that you wanted to share with the HR audience?
Okay, well, the big trends have actually been very similar over the last 18 months. Every aspect of the product has to grow more social. So the ability to get more than just hierarchical or one-way communication within a solution is a bygone era. In every aspect, you're looking at how do I get peer feedback, and people are going out to the web to get that. How do I get levels of education that's outside of, you know, what my company has put together? You need to go outside of that. Getting candidates for more than just job boards, being able to advertise. The whole social aspect and the cloud and the social media collaboration aspect of talent management is very consistent with the rest of the business environment. You just have to have that social component to draw on more sources. Now, it gives it's a double-edged sword, because once you provide that level of access, you kind of lose control, and you're less able to enforce certain things. But you can't fight that wave of going out. So I'd say social is a big avenue. Another is the one you just talked about, mobile, is not only just having the mobile devices to be able to take and go where you are, but being able to resize the application to whatever screen you're using. I don't know if you've ever been on a presentation where your screen size wasn't the same as the remote presenter and you're frustrated the whole time. Just that aspect of whatever device you're using, you see a user-pleasing, customized screen. And so I think mobile, from all those aspects, is a big trend. And the third trend is towards not just reporting and data, but analytics, which is the trending of information. So, you know, I can take a snapshot in time today and see my company has 10% turnover, revenues are going in a certain direction. But what you need to be able to do with your reporting is be able to say, okay, over the past 6 months, with data points taken at a certain time, you know, 10% turnover might be good or it might be bad. When would it be good? Well, if last month it was 15% turnover. It might be bad if last month was 5% turnover. And what can you drill down on that? What's in that turnover? Is it your good people leaving, or is it you're letting go of low performers? So being able to have this trending and this drill down in your reporting is probably the third key trend that I think the market is taking us towards based on customer demand, social, mobile, and analytics.
Well, fantastic. Tom, we are just about out of time. We got about 60 seconds. So where can folks connect with you on the social sphere? And once you tell us that, we're out of here.
Okay. Well, easy enough, just go to our site, hrsmart.com. On there, we have access to our blogs, our press releases. You can get a free demo of our system. We have the ability to look through our system in a four-minute overview, tells you what we do. There's case studies and white papers up there for you to learn a little more about us. I'm based in Richardson, Texas. Anybody calls me and they come through, I'm always happy to meet with someone interested in, you know, further researching either an offering or just what's going on in the industry.
Well, fantastic. Tom, thanks for spending lunch with us. And, folks, we're out of here. Have a good day. It might seem-